Oh God.
Don't hate yourself. Love yourself.
All right. We're going to talk about what the house ELE, didn't do.
Everybody love everybody.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
I saw an elected official at our hometown legislative action day this past week who said I should start calling you a co-host.
Oh, fantastic.
I told that elected official, I looked at him and I said, no.
I did not put them up to it. I can promise you that. Well, but that just goes to show you my campaign is starting to work a bit.
Well, it was literally just one person. So it was just one.
It always starts with just one, Casey.
I quickly shot it down.
That's how all righteous movements begin.
So everybody, welcome back. One. My guest this week, Scott Slatton from the Municipal Association.
Thank you. It's glad to be back.
Hey, glad to have you, as always.
Happy to have survived HLAD on Tuesday. It was a long day.
It was a long day.
Good day, though.
It was a great day. That's really one of my favorite things, although it is exhausting, but I do love being with everybody.
It was a big crowd, too.
Bigger than last year.
Yeah, for sure.
I really enjoy being with everybody and seeing everybody and catching up and really meeting a lot of our new elected officials. We had a huge class of mayors, new mayors elected this year. So, and speaking of new mayors, our new mayor from North Charleston was in the house.
Mayor Reggie Burgess.
He was there with Ryan Johnson, who works for the city of North Charleston and has for a very long time.
Yep.
He was there. He walked over and met with the governor and he was kind of making his rounds.
Yeah, the governor instad out a photo of the two of them. They're
working some legislation and meeting everybody. I was really I was glad to see Mayor Burgess.
Absolutely.
To see him with the crowd. Speaking of North Charleston, I'd like to go ahead and the city of North Charleston has a distinctive feature.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about landscape, although they do.
Probably my favorite distinctive feature that they have is Common House Ale Works and Coast Brewing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I figured
those
you would
two features. Like so,
this is interesting. There are members of council that share the same name. Can you tell me the same name and how many of them are there? This just happened in November with the 2023 election.
Oh, gosh. I've seen this.
And listen, I know this because Mayor Burgess told me this, or Ryan did.
Golly, I've seen this. I know this, but I'm not going to get it right.
So, North Charleston.
I think it's, is it?
Come on, Scott. You can do it.
It's Brown, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yes.
How many council members have the last name Brown?
I think there are three.
That's correct.
Of the 11.
What's the first name?
Michael.
Yes. Oh, what is the middle initial of two of the three?
I don't know that.
Oh, yes. Yes, I knew it. Okay.
Don't know that.
So the city of North Charleston has Michael A. Brown representing districts 1, 7, and 10.
MAB.
They are three different human beings.
Yes.
With the same name.
Yeah.
There is a father-son duo.
Okay.
Representing two different districts.
I was going to ask what their ages were. Were they close?
I don't know the ages. Mr. Producer did not provide that
right
to me.
That's fine.
But then there's also Nefertiti Brown, who is a council member in District 6.
Okay.
But there are three Michael Browns in North Charleston.
How about that?
How about that? You just never know, do you?
I tell you.
You just never know.
See, Casey, it's because of my brain being filled with trivial information like that there's so little room for actual meaningful information.
So many lyrics. My kids are astonished when we are in the car and Drew's like, Mom, have you ever heard the song before? And I'm like, of course. course, I've heard this song before. And I start singing it. And Drew's like, how do you know? Every song that comes on, I'm just jamming out. And Drew's like, how do you know the lyrics to all these songs?
Listen,
and I'm like, it takes up brain space. So, should it? I don't know.
You know,
probably not.
Mr. Tony does the exact same thing. Habib knows what I'm talking about. Mr. Tony can give, if you give him the start of the lyrics of some song from the 50s, 60s, or 70s, he can recite all the lyrics from the song. It's uncanny.
Now,
he can't remember what he did yesterday, but he can remember these things.
I'll walk into rooms and be like, what was I doing in here? But then if you're like, Dr. Dre, the entire Chronic album, go. And I'll be like, great, where do I start? Would you like to start from the beginning, middle, or end?
And I appreciated Habib's David Aldridge moment on Tuesday when he referred to Mrs. Habib as the woman to whom he's related by marriage. It's fantastic.
I think that is a lovely way to describe your spouse.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to start calling Andy. Oh, hey, yeah, no, I'm related to him by marriage. They'd be like, wait, what?
It's
so
true.
So it's your husband?
It's accurate. Husband. You're not blood.
So
you produced blood, but you are not blood yourself.
I have two beautiful little human beings. Who I'll let's go ahead and get that out of the way before we go any further.
Yes.
The teams this spring, we're going to continue with the Kickin' Koalas soccer team. We're playing up in 10 and 11 U. They're the age bracket.
Is the team
got
staying
some,
together, or did we have to go into the portal? Did we lose anybody to the portal?
No,
or
nobody. We lost to somebody. We lost some folks to some other sports.
Okay.
But we still have a strong roster.
Right, good.
We are looking at some NIL offers, NIL deals.
Yeah.
I'll keep everybody posted on that. We may have some jerseys with FIFIC on the back of it.
We used to call those sponsors, but now they're
right. NIL
deals.
We're also now pulling for the Vipers baseball team. And let me just tell you a little story, just a quick story.
Real quick.
When I was pregnant with Drew, who is playing on the Vipers baseball team, people said that I was more kind of forthright with my opinion and more honest while I was pregnant.
I could definitely attest to that when you were pregnant with Mary Elton, because I was here in the building with you.
So my sister so lovingly nicknamed me the Viper when I was
good.
Pregnant with Drew. So when
That's
he
funny.
Was born, I had t-shirts made and mine said the Viper and his said baby Viper. So I just think it's great that he's now playing for the Vipers. So when I say go Vipers, go Kickin' Koalas, you'll know what I'm talking about.
It's all a circle, Casey. It's
all
a circle.
Isn't it? I feel like you should start singing Circle of Life by Elton John. But don't.
All right. I'll try to avoid breaking out in song. We need to get to the show.
Let's get down to business.
Yes.
Speaking of HLAD real quick.
This kind of, this is what drags out the show, and we get criticism from some people about the show's too long.
Right. I personally think our true fans, our listener, really love it. Anyway, Mayor Paul Shoemaker from the big city of Simpsonville in the Golden Strip, he showed up to Hometown Legislative Action Day with some podcast merch that he made himself.
A bootleg ribbon, name badge ribbon that he made himself.
Yes, that said, I am the listener.
Amazing.
That we're talking about. I was thrilled.
I thought the serrated edge on the bottom of the ribbon was just an exquisite touch.
Nice touch. Well, shout out to Mayor Paul. Maybe he'll bring some more. I thought Seth Duncan was going to rip it off of his name badge. maybe he'll bring some more to annual meeting.
That'd be amazing.
Maybe we'll actually have merch at annual meeting. I'd like coffee mugs, anybody? Anybody that's out there listening?
We'll see and look into that.
I'm going to make my own. Scott, this week was a regular session week for the House and Senate.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate is actually, this is Thursday afternoon that we are recording this around noontime, and the Senate is actually still in session. They went in about 11. They are debating the South Carolina Compassionate Care Act, which is medical marijuana.
Medical cannabis
in the state. There are a couple of amendments still on the desk. They started with this yesterday.
Yeah.
They put it on special order on Tuesday before they adjourned. And if you remember, they tried to put it on special order last week.
Right.
But that vote failed.
And, we can put on our pundit hats and assume that this was a reward, if you will, for permitless carry being passed right. out of the chamber.
That kind of got mixed in there, yep. you know.
So, yep. I mean, there's horse trading. That's right. That's politics. That's how it works.
That's what it is.
So, but the speed with which they were able to get this thing on special order, and then basically, I mean, I would expect by the end of today, they'll get second reading on that bill and
or they
perfunctory
may do the,
on Friday or next Tuesday,
or
whatever.
They may do the give it second reading today.
Yeah.
And then waive the 3/5 requirement
right, right.
You know, for amendments on third. And so they might do that and then finish next week.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, and our interest in it is with regard to how we as cities and towns can zone these businesses.
That's correct.
The business license taxes and the other permitting requirements that we would ask of them, just like any other business. All of that is intact in this version of the bill. Mm-hmm. The key difference between the bill that passed out of the Senate and got
last
waylaid
year.
In the House,
yeah.
was it last year or year before?
It was
2 years ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay,
maybe it got waylaid year. In the House last year, but it passed. I don't know. Anyway, the previous iteration of this bill proposed a fee that would be paid by these dispensaries.
Right.
And as a result, it was ruled upon in the House as a revenue-generating bill, and all revenue-generating bills have to originate in the House of Representatives.
That's correct. That
and
was
so
kind of the famous, they were rolling in a
the
cart.
The thousand amendments,
and
yes.
it was all it was reams and reams and reams of paper that had amendments on it
yeah.
to that bill.
But before they even got to those, what I would call dilatory
correct.
Amendments, it was ruled out of order.
Right. By Speaker Pro Tem Tommy Poe.
Yeah,
and it was based
on the basis
on
that it was
revenue,
a fee
yeah.
generating
and
bill.
All and all fee generating revenue bills must
right.
start in the House.
Right. And that medical cannabis bill and this one have originated in the Senate.
Well,
that's
so,
the key difference.
So
but,
the Senate
but
has already passed this bill. But, and yeah, there are people that vote against it. It's not a unanimous vote.
But
at
that
all.
Fee generation section is not in this version of the bill to avoid that same problem when, mm-hmm. when it passes the Senate and goes over to the House. But I'm sure those 1,000 amendments have been stored somewhere.
Right. I'm sure they're
the
on
State
someone's
House.
Computer
yeah.
and someone's storage unit.
And they will reemerge at the appropriate time in the House. So we'll keep an eye on
and
that.
And that's really what the Senate is. They're concentrating on, or they did yesterday and again today.
Right.
So I expect if they finish today, then we start fresh next week. But I don't know, you know. Thursday, Scott, nobody really wants to stay late on Thursday.
Well, there's already a bunch of them that aren't there.
Right.
They're
right.
All,
they've all have
leave. They've all
so
got leave.
I,
so.
I wouldn't be surprised if they talked a little bit today and then maybe, you know, gave it second reading,
yeah, but
you
vote,
know, yeah,
know,
but really wait
Tuesday
the third,
third
reading vote
yeah.
would be like the real second
that's
reading
fine.
Vote. So that's what they're doing. The House of Representatives, they received the 3594, the permitless carry. The firearm permitless carry bill,
yeah.
they received that back from the Senate with amendments.
Mm-hmm.
It went on the calendar. Today, they got on that bill, and they decided to adjourn debate on that until next week. There were amendments on the desk because
yeah.
Bubba Cromer, the House reading clerk, he started publishing the amendments because they got
yeah.
on the bill. That's what they're supposed to do.
Right.
But they decided they would just adjourn debate until next week. They also put the name, image, likeness bill that came out of committee. They put that on the contested calendar to debate next week. That means that people want an extended debate, not just the, you know, timed out debate that's the uncontested calendar.
Because our universities and their athletic programs, I think, compared to other parts of the country, are behind the times on what is and is not allowed with regard to NIL. That's my
right,
understanding.
Right.
But I haven't read that bill, don't know a whole lot about it. But
I do know that Coach Dawn Staley, Coach Dabo Sweeney, Coach Lamont Paris, Coach Shane Beamer, he
yep.
was over there.
Yeah.
A lot of our coaches from our big universities were at the State House this week. We
yeah.
were getting text messages on Tuesday as we were at the Marriott for Hometown Legislative Action Day that they were over there in support of the bill. So,
good.
So that was moved to the contested calendar.
That's
the only other bill.
Hold on a second.
Okay,
let's back up.
Ahead.
That's really interesting that, no, it's the It's the transfer portal that Dabo
right.
is
he
against.
He doesn't like the transfer
portal. Not the NIL. Not NIL. Okay, good. All right.
Then that bill joins your Sunday liquor sales bill. Not
on
Scott.
The
it is
calendar.
Not sponsored by Scott. It no. was not written by Scott. But no. Scott is the staff person that is working on this bill.
We support it.
And answering questions. But that's the bill that allows cities to put a referendum on to ask residents to vote yeah. on Sunday liquor sales.
House Bill 4231. It got passed over on the... It was on the
several
contested
times.
Calendar.
It's been
it got
sitting
passed
on there all
over
week.
Multiple times. Yeah. The alcohol delivery bill, sort of the tandem bill with it, if you will, it got passed out
yeah,
of the House.
That they, got third reading
They
today.
Voted on that after some debate and argument about whether or not somebody should have to placard their vehicle when they're carrying, you know, 100 gallons of liquor in their car or something like that. I saw our friend Gavin Jackson at ETV mm-hmm. tweeted something to the effect of he would have to placard his car. As with hazardous materials when he comes back from the liquor store. So
Gavin.
I thought that was funny.
And it
funny.
Was kind of in a moment that you rarely see on the House floor, Weston Newton, Chairman Weston
oh, wow.
Newton, the chairman of House Judiciary from down in Beaufort, he brought a cardboard box,
yeah.
like just a plain looking, like a shoebox.
Yeah.
He got out his keys or something and opened as he was talking.
Yes.
I mean, it was a brilliant.
Yes.
Move. As he was talking, opens up this box and places a sealed bottle of Maker's Mark.
Yeah.
Is that bourbon or whiskey?
Yes,
bourbon.
It's bourbon.
Sets it out on
know.
The, I don't drink Maker's Mark.
I don't
so
either. I don't drink the brown liquor.
Set it on the podium and was talking about it. And it was so funny. It was, I mean, it was weird because when he pulled out the liquor bottle, everybody, you heard this.
his point was, so the argument was against the bill from some of the opponents was that, you know, we already have these delivery things and why do we need it? And Representative Newton's point was it's entirely unregulated here in South Carolina. And as a demonstration of that, he said, I ordered this in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to show an ID.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to tell anybody who I was except for my mailing address, you know, whatever.
Yep.
All of the hurdles that you would have to jump through in order to have alcohol delivered to you by way of that bill, none of those obstacles were presented to him when he made this order online.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they'll defeat that with
right.
this bill. But anyway,
because, you know,
point
online,
was,
if you want to go to a website of a liquor manufacturer, distributor, or
yeah.
a brew house,
right.
or a
RU21.
Brewery, RU21.
Yes
yeah.
or no.
Or
yes.
even maybe it makes you give a year or something. Did you know that bottles... So I like, there's like a lime flavored mineral water that Topo Chico makes.
Uh-huh.
It's non-alcoholic.
Right.
They still card me when
really?
I go and buy that mineral water.
That's interesting.
At bottles.
And
I kind of looked at the girl and I wanted to be just, like, do you think these wrinkles tell you I'm over 21?
My guess would be that that's just a routine part of their procedure. No matter what you're buying,
yeah.
I'm asking
they're
asking for your ID.
Card me no matter what. I mean, I didn't argue.
But no, it was.
I wanted to be like,
it was really? A lot of fun to see Representative Newton do that, and he ended it because of that, and you know his arguments for it. He was able to get it passed out of the
yeah.
House. It was great. Now I hope he can launch similar defenses against opposition
so,
next week on the
referendum
the retail
bill.
Yeah.
So if we are looking ahead to next week in the House of Representatives, we are looking at the gun bill.
Yes.
They have received back Senate amendments. We are looking at the name, image, likeness bill, and we're looking at the liquor referendum bill.
Yes.
Those are the three huge things that are still going to be on that are on the House calendar. So they kind of have to they have to structure their schedule like that. Something else, Scott, that went on this week. They were originally scheduled to have judicial elections
wow.
on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That they have to pass a resolution setting the date and time for a joint assembly to elect judges.
Yep.
That resolution was passed by the House, but stopped in the Senate by several senators who are not happy with the way South Carolina selects judges and wants a change or reform on that.
Senator Wes Clymer from Rock Hill being the chief architect
several,
of that block.
Several others as well were also objecting to that bill. So on Wednesday, at a little before noon, Speaker Merle Smith took the well per the rules. He's allowed to do that. And he let him have it.
He ripped the Senate.
He ripped the Senate over this.
Yes.
A couple of hours later, the Senate goes into session at 1 o'clock on Wednesday.
Right.
So they went into session, and kind of further into session, President Tommy Alexander, the senator from Oconee County, he took the well and ripped them back.
Yes. Yes.
With a mic drop moment, I would say, at the very end, when he said, I would like to remind the House, we work with them, not for them.
Yes.
After that, he turned off the microphone and walked back to his
seat. And got a standing ovation
to
from the floor.
Up to a standing ovation.
Which is
so
unusual.
This is another looming issue out there. I mean, you've got the budget going in the House Ways and Means Committee, and you've got all these other things, but you've also got this huge kind of elephant in the room of judicial selection reform that is there. And I don't think, Scott, and you tell me, you disagree with me, I don't think that's going to go away.
I don't see any light in the immediate tunnel.
Right. There are a lot of different versions of what people want to,
I think it is
how people want to do it.
It is, unfortunately, perhaps well on its way to devolving into personal acrimony. And that's never good.
Speaking of that, there is a House member that declared that he was going to run for a Senate seat against an incumbent senator.
Yes.
And that has now devolved into attacks on Twitter.
Yeah. Representative Russell Ott from St. Matthews, Calhoun County, has decided that he is going to run against Senator Dick Harpootlian for the Senate, and Senator Harpootlian has come out the gate firing.
He really has, and I don't think this is going to be. This is just the early portion of the program.
These are the opening volleys,
right? Yeah. I mean, this is like the opening act. This is not the main event.
These are the skirmish volleys.
We haven't
even got the big guns.
These
yet.
Are the bands that just released their new LP, and they go on at like 5.
Yeah.
You know, like they're like one of 4 opening acts that go on before the headliner. So add that to the mix.
Stokes the Senate House rivalry.
We're almost a month away from filing. Filing opens March 16th for the elections for 2024. And I mean, I can't stress enough how that has an effect on policy moving through the state house. What policy moves, what doesn't move.
Yeah.
An example of that would be zero millage.
Yeah.
We tried to get zero millage.
Yes, as Erica, during our legislative update at HLAD on Tuesday, let everybody know that zero millage is not going to go forward this year because of the implications for primary candidates voting for potentially a tax increase in just a handful of small towns or, you know, cities and towns across the state. So that's how that plays out. That's a perfect example of how
nobody wants to
electoral politics scares people away from particular issues. And that's what we're seeing on the zero millage bill this year.
Legislators perceive that as a tax increase.
Yeah.
And they did not want to vote for a tax increase in an election year.
Right. Even though they're not the ones raising the taxes necessarily.
That's
It'd be
correct.
The local officials.
But they would give them permission to do it. So
my argument's always been that they can and should do
of
that
course.
Anyway.
Of course.
Those local officials who have zero millage.
And see what happens.
Yeah. And let's figure it out. But I'm not an attorney. Talk to your town attorney.
Right.
If you are contemplating doing something like that.
In the Senate, now that they've spent a good bit of time on the permitless carry bill, they are now would move to the uncontested bills on their calendar or anything else coming out of committees here over the next week or so.
Okay. Good.
What else this week? You were over there.
I was over there this morning working on. So Senator Tom Davis from Buford Bluffton has a massive energy bill that has received some subcommittee hearings. There are implications in that bill for municipal electric systems across the state. There are 21 electric cities and towns. And so wanted to get some clarification on some definitions, talk to Senate staff, talk to some of the big energy, big electric guys right. over there, to get their take on their interpretation of some of the definitions that we were
big energy, big liquor.
About. Yeah.
I mean, they're
and
everywhere.
And then got some information that, there's likely going to be a big energy bill dropped in the House next week. So we'll see what that looks like and how that does or does not implicate the municipal electric utilities across the state. It was co-op day in the state house today.
Packed
out.
They had a bucket truck outside, didn't they?
Two bucket trucks out front there, and there was a fleet of them parked on Sumter Street. I was wondering what was going on. Thought, you know, did we lose power?
Right,
but no.
right.
Texted a picture of the big bucket that was extended to the top to Big Bubby and said,
"Oh yeah."
I thought it was utility worker day, perhaps.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Got inside, and then I was like, no, it's co-op
Bubs
day.
Could have come to utility worker
yeah,
day.
Yeah, he texted me back, we didn't get invited. But he didn't work for a co-op. So,
right.
You know, he works for a contractor.
Listen, we appreciate, I think of a lineman as a first responder.
Oh,
they're coming out
for sure, yeah.
in terrible conditions because
yeah.
we are a bunch of babies and can't be without power for longer than a couple minutes.
He made fun of me last year. It was last fall. We lost power at the house. There was a storm coming through or something. You could hear the transformers popping uh-huh. and the lines crackling down the road. And I had one of my old firefighter helmets on, walked up the street. He walked up there. He goes, you know, you look ridiculous.
Like, said,
it's safety first, bud.
Yeah.
What if something falls on my head?
Right. Exactly. I thought I taught you better than that, son.
Yeah.
So. Scott, what was your favorite session at annual meeting? Hello. At Hometown Legislative Action Day.
I enjoyed Laura Ulrich's talk
yes,
on the economy.
Very much.
She
so.
Made it understandable for all of us and was entertaining and fun. And
I need to go back and listen to hers where I can you know, really listen to it. I was kind of running in and out.
She made economics fun.
Oh.
And then Dr. Scott Huffman from Winthrop University was there, and he talked about polling methodology. And I think really the point of his talk was, hey, when you see a poll, you need to understand which ones and why you should be skeptical of
right.
because of the way that they ask questions,
right.
their methodology in terms of identifying the people that
like
they
sample
want to poll.
Size
yeah.
and how many, yeah.
And so he broke that down into, you know, understandable pieces as well. And then, of course, he spoke to the mayors after his general session and talked a little bit of politics and mm-hmm. we pitched in on that
really,
a little bit
yeah,
as
I really enjoyed talking to him because he has a completely different perspective than we do.
Yeah.
He looks at it a lot higher.
Yeah.
A very higher academic level and very much kind of scientific as far as numbers and population numbers
yeah.
and who votes and who doesn't and all that. And we are in it kind of at the ground level
yes.
all the time. So
yeah.
we're watching all these high level things kind of play out
yeah.
and how people are behaving. So
it's
very interesting.
I've sat in on the Act 57, the accommodations tax affordable housing
oh, yeah.
session that Eric
Your
Scheidel.
Bill from last year.
Yeah, our general counsel, Eric Scheidel, and Josh Gruber, who's the assistant city town manager in Hilton Head Island. Hilton Head Island is the first city that we're aware of that has made progress toward using their accommodations taxes to address affordable housing on the island. I talked to Josh and Mayor Alan Perry and the town manager, Mark Orlando, about some of the ideas that they're working on. They're working with some partners, private and public,
mm-hmm.
To try and bring some affordable housing onto the island itself.
That would be fantastic.
You know, not mm-hmm. elsewhere, not off the island. But workforce housing where firefighters, nurses, you know, retail,
maybe
hospitality
hotel workers,
industry peoples
yeah.
can afford. So it was good to talk to them. And I think they're the guinea pigs, if
right,
you will.
Right.
And the
they're gonna do it first and teach us how to do it.
You know, the work that they have done already is probably It sets a good standard for everybody else. I would argue that, you know, they have the means to be able to hire people from outside the town government to
right.
to do some of these the impact analysis, housing impact analysis. But I think Josh pointed this out too. You could use our study as a template, other cities or towns, mm-hmm. and you may not have to get into the level of sophistication that we did.
Mm-hmm.
So, because there's really nothing the law, Act 57 lays out what you are to look at, but it doesn't talk about the level of detail that you have to get into.
Right.
So I think
right.
it could be simpler for other cities and towns that want to use those funds, to get into that workforce housing development area. But I'm hoping that more and more cities and towns across the state will start expressing interest in moving towards using it, because if we don't, if we can't demonstrate some positive results from this, then it's going to make it very difficult for mm-hmm. us to renew it or to get rid of the 7-year sunset.
That's
on
right.
it. In fact, I had a conversation after that session with Rock Hill Mayor John Geddes, and the mayor made a good point, and it's the same point that I made when the bill was going through the General Assembly last year. The 7-year sunset is a big problem, because
yes.
private money, city money, even if the city yes. wanted to bond some funds, you can't bond any amount of money for less than 7 years.
And Scott, that's the same thing that developers are running into with the affordable, no, not affordable. I just said that, the abandoned buildings.
Precisely.
Tax credit. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, but what I told the mayor is let's demonstrate some success, whatever that is. If
right.
we can show
right.
some success and positive results, as limited as that may be, then we can use that success as an example of, hey, General Assembly, our program is, we're able to do these things, but for this sunset, we could make this much more effective
right.
than what we're able to accomplish with the restrictions that you've got on it, particularly the sunset. So
yes.
we need to show some measures of success and progress forward using that law, so that we can use that as the excuse to, as an ex, not even as an excuse, but to
as
demonstrate
evidence, yeah.
to demonstrate that we could be even more successful if we didn't have that mm-hmm. that limitation mm-hmm. in front of us.
And I'm very proud that cities and towns are going to lead the way on this.
Oh yeah,
and really be the innovators and the people that are putting this at the forefront.
100%.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, me too.
Anything else for the good of the order for our listener to enjoy while he or she mows the lawn over the weekend or blows off the hard surfaces?
Let me give a shout out. Well, I got to go to Charleston this afternoon because I'm giving a talk tomorrow morning.
I forgot about that.
Give a shout out to the Golden Strip Cities for their hosting
hosted
me
for dinner.
At their big legislative delegation dinner. Lots of House members and senators in attendance. I had another good meal.
Lovely.
So I appreciated them doing that. It's the first time I've been there in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually probably not since Eddie Case passed away have I been to that dinner. So
I sure did love Eddie Case.
Great to sit down and chat with those folks and share a meal. So
did you know
it,
that the city of Fountain Inn gave, when Drew Fiffick was born, they gave him a key to the city and passed a proclamation? Still have it.
That's amazing.
I know.
That's very
it.
Good. Yeah, no. So, but overall, HLAT I thought went really well, and look for improvements next year. But now we've turned our attention to the annual meeting.
That's right.
In Greenville in July. We've got a, Mr. Producer, we've got a planning meeting coming up for that, don't we?
Yeah, we should be submitting ideas as we speak right now.
I should
be typing and submitting ideas while we're recording this podcast.
I never submit them in advance. Always off the cuff. There.
I will tell everybody, as we are signing off of our podcast today, the Senate is still in session. They are still debating. Greg Hembree, Senator Greg Hembree, a Republican from Horry County, is holding the floor and has been since they got on the bill for about an hour or so. So I do not know if that is the
is that going to lead to a filibuster?
I don't know. That this is he could be at the beginnings. He's coughing. He's got some congestion.
Yeah,
so I don't know
he's
if
not he's not 100% today.
No, I don't know if he is going to feel like going for very long. But be sure to read From the Dome to Your Home for any updates on what happens today with the Compassionate Care Act. We'll keep you updated that. And be sure to tune in next week for another edition of From the Dome to Your Home podcast. Be the listener. Bye, everybody. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.